The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, on a count of four.
Yes, sir.
Brady live in Radio Row. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? How you doing, big boy? What's going on?
I am. No, am I handsome or big boy?
You're handsome.
Okay,
you're
I'm handsome. Handsome. One.
You're
okay.
Handsome. Brady.
I couldn't possibly be better. Let's kick this ball off. I'm ready to go. I've heard enough. Let's
Brady,
go.
How's it going out there your last day? You must be pretty bummed about that.
I am bummed, but it's super busy. I can't really move today. Like, you know that feeling of a sardine? That's what I imagine this feels like.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because you had a great night last night.
You ate like a pig.
Well, we ate well.
I wasn't thinking eating.
The ESPN execs, we ate well. A couple Coors Lights, trip to the hotel bar.
Wow.
Now we're talking.
Couple rum and cokes.
Yeah. Where did you go for dinner?
We went to the Cadillac Ranch inside the Mall of America.
That sounds awesome. So you must have run up that bill like a big old steak, a nice baked potato.
I did steak tacos. The ESPN execs did steak tacos. The boys from South Dakota did some kind of burgers. The Juicy Lucy's were
ordered. South Dakota they should have split a meal. Yeah. That's how small that station, but go ahead.
So some Juicy Lucy's got ordered.
Oh.
The guys from Tampa were out with us, so that was fun. Honestly, the best part of the night, though, but aside from the food, was there was a magician who came by to the table. Had to be this, like, 19-year-old kid. Huh. No way this kid was more than 19. This kid was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, the tricks that this guy did, they're so complex and amazing, I don't even know that I could explain them to you.
Yeah, it's the coolest thing because it's like that. What I just saw is not physically possible.
Yeah.
I know. I've always felt that way about magicians who just walk up to you.
There's one that I want to try to explain, so you got to give me a second. So the guy put out an entire, he had the entire deck of cards, all 52 cards.
Right.
And he goes to the ESPN exec. He goes, pick a card, take any card. So the guy takes a card, and he goes, okay, now, I want you to lie to me. I want you to tell me what card you have, but I want it to be a lie. So you're just telling him any card other than the card that he has.
Right.
So he says, okay, I have the two of clubs. And he goes, okay. So he's got one card out on the desk at this point, and then the 51 cards, or one card on the table, and then the 51 cards in his pocket. And he goes, okay, what was the card that you actually had? He goes, the Eight of Hearts. So the card that was on the desk was the Eight of Hearts, and the card he pulled out of the other 51 was the Two of Clubs. The two cards that the guy, the one he actually had, the one he lied
so
about.
So he lied about, okay.
Oh, my God.
That's impossible.
And he had the one, like, he set out the one card on the desk, on the table beforehand, and said, okay, this card is coming right here. You don't know why it's here, but you'll see soon. He goes, all right, now pick a card, any card. He looked at it, Eight of Hearts. He goes, all right, now tell me a lie. Tell me what card you have, but it's going to be a lie. It's okay. You're lying to me on this one. He goes, okay, I've got the Two of Clubs. And by the end, he had two cards in his hand. One was the Eight of Hearts, and one was the Two of Clubs. I have zero idea how it was done.
And are people, like, screaming and wanting to run away from the kid because that's not possible?
No, I mean, he did all kinds of stuff. At one point, he even had us convinced he had taken one of the guys from South Dakota's wallet. The guy actually looked in his pocket, and he goes, no, that's just my wallet, but I had you believe in it. And, I mean, it's like he pulled cards out of his shirt, like when we had just seen in his shirt pocket there was nothing there. Look, magic, I'm pretty gullible. Magic will get me no matter what, but this was like sorcery stuff.
I don't ever see anybody around Burlington that does that, do you? That you coming
that would be a hugely popular thing on Church Street.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is a thing. I mean, me and my girlfriend stopped and saw a magician's show one time. I don't remember what he did, but he was all right.
He was all right.
He was good.
I don't remember what he did.
Yeah,
magic.
I don't remember what he did magic-wise.
Sounds memorable. Right.
He was a nice guy. Yeah, what can I say?
So, Brady, did you see anybody levitate or anything? Is that guy into this?
No, this guy wasn't into that stuff. Yeah. But, like, by the end of the night, like, he stayed with us for, like, 20 minutes. Usually we'd be like, damn, we just want to eat, drink, we want to talk, we're meeting with the bigwigs. This guy, like, we wanted him to come and join us. Yeah. He was so amazing.
Did you have to tip him?
No, but I felt like we should have. The guy from South Dakota said he wanted to tip him, and I was like,
"Oh yeah, wow, I can't believe you didn't tip the guy."
So he might have tipped
wow.
him.
Wow, the guy's the making end. Like $6 an hour. Yeah, you don't tip him.
He probably put a spell on you.
So no, man, I think he should have tipped. He should have put a hat out or something. You know what I mean?
And that was that guy was incredibly impressive. Huh. That guy was awesome.
Creepy.
So you chowed down. Yeah, did you run into anybody at dinner, or no? You didn't go to the fancy steakhouses where people get in the fights.
No. We didn't run into anybody at dinner, but your buddies from Dallas got put in a different hotel, so they had some drunken debauchery at the hotel bar last night.
What do you
so
mean?
All your old coworkers.
What do you mean got put in a different hotel? They had to move to their hotel or something?
Yeah, like, I don't know. They had the one hotel for four nights, and then they had to move to another one for one night.
Because there was nothing left of their rooms. Yeah.
So they were out there wow. at the hotel bar. That was great.
They could booze it up like there's no tomorrow, too, those Dallas guys. There's no doubt about that.
Today on Radio Row has been really impressive. It's probably not quite as crowded as yesterday, but the star power was even greater. I mean, RG3 is walking around right now.
How did he look? How does he look? I haven't seen him.
He looks good. Yeah. He looks good. He's got a different hairdo, so it was a little hard to pick out at first.
Okay. Isn't he only like 28 at this point?
Yeah. He's the same age as Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck.
Wow.
Drew Brees is out here. Joe Thomas is out here right now for the Browns. You know who just walked by me was Brian Hoyer. Yeah. I was like, aren't you supposed to be at practice?
Yeah, what's he doing, you know?
So, I don't know. Hoyer's looking for Joe Thomas. I see Hoyer. I see a guy who I think is Hoyer, and I'm like, I think that's Brian Hoyer.
The funny part is probably nobody has no idea who he is.
I was like, I can't imagine that this is Brian Hoyer. And then he comes up near me, and on his badge is the Patriots logo. So I was like, okay, maybe it is Brian Hoyer. And then he goes and stands right in front of me. It's definitely Brian Hoyer. And then I shook his hand and said, Brian, we're a Patriots station. Just want to wish you good luck. And he said, thanks, I appreciate that. Do you know where Joe Thomas is? I was like, I don't know where Joe Thomas is, but can you imagine there's any other, like, 6'8", 325-pound guys like,
do you know
just milling here?
You should have said no, but, you know, Bill and I were just talking about Belichick, and if you want to know where he is, I can tell you that.
Imagine being the one guy on the New England Patriots that absolutely nobody wants to see unless it's in the last minute of the game.
He has a 1% chance of playing more than I do, I would think. That's about it. I think that's
yeah, but imagine, and knock on big-time wood here, Brady goes down in the first quarter, all of a sudden, you know, Brian Hoyer is your man.
That's a prop bet, guys. Will anybody else take a snap other than Nick Foles and Tom Brady?
My buddy Nate Sudfeld.
And kickers or punters and holders don't count, remember?
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, the thing, did you guys get to see the 30 for 30 last night? Because that was big talk
around here. Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. It was, I didn't realize there was so much tape that Tom Brady and Belichick and it's nauseating, really, to be honest with you.
No, it was great. Just seeing the relationship between Parcells and Belichick and just hearing the way they talk about football, I thought it was fascinating. I had heard this before, but to see in that Super Bowl against the Bills where the Giants won, they were basically like, let Thurman Thomas do whatever he wants, and we'll just play the pass.
Right.
I thought that was pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, but can you go through 18 years or whatever the hell it was, without dropping a few F-bombs on each other?
Well, Parcells was squaring at Belichick.
Yeah,
I know.
That's the way he is. Did that shock you guys? Let me tell you something. I don't know if you guys know, like Coach K and people like that, they swear like a sailor.
Drunken sailor.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. Did that surprise you, Brady, or what about Parcells?
No, it didn't surprise me at all. The thing that surprised me is, as Ken Rogers told us yesterday, who was the director of the film,
right,
that Robert Kraft thinks there was tampering in the league office to get Parcells out of New England and get him back coaching in New York, because I thought it was good for the league. And look, I tend to not be a conspiracy theory guy, but that was interesting that Robert Kraft thought that.
Yeah, it really was. There was a lot more Robert Kraft in it than I thought there was going to be. But it was fascinating to hear some of the things he had to say. And my goodness, so much video of the two of them back in the Giants days.
Yeah. I also thought it was interesting when the first game back in Cleveland, or the first game for Belichick in Cleveland, where Parcells was the announcer, he said, we have time to win this. I thought that was fascinating. I thought it was fascinating how Lawrence Taylor said that none of the Giants liked Belichick because he was nobody who didn't play football.
Right, and they were like, who is this guy? You know what I mean?
And it was really interesting to see the two of them sitting together and listening to Parcells talking about how he was the authority, and Belichick saying, yeah, he sure was. He was the guy. I was just there along for the ride. But you think about all of the influence that Parcells and his attitude in those early years had on Belichick in the future.
Yeah, I think you can see a lot of where Belichick gets kind of his personality or lack thereof. Now, the other thing I found really fascinating was the thing that undid Parcells in New England, it wasn't the league, it was Parcells' attitude and him thinking he was, bigger than Kraft and him not wanting to deal with Kraft in the middle of his business. That's the one thing that until this year that we've heard out of Belichick, like, he's kept that the ego in check, whereas Parcells kind of let the ego get the best of him. And Parcells seemed to show that he recognized that.
And the funny thing, too, was there was a lot of chaos in the very early time, I think, if Parcells was around, with the possibility of Kraft moving the team to the Hartford area. Was there not?
Oh, geez, how great would that have been, huh? The Hartford Patriots.
I'm trying to remember the timeline there, but, I mean, there was certainly a time when it was, at least if the media accounts are correct, it was somewhat close to happening.
I also started to wonder, we say Belichick was a failure in Cleveland. And record-wise, he ended 37-45. So you can certainly say that, yes, he's not the Belichick that he is now. But that whole last season, I almost just want to throw out the window because it was in the works of them leaving and the whole thing about Art Modell taking the team away in the middle of the night. If Modell doesn't move the team to Cleveland, they come off a playoff win in 94. Maybe the whole thing changes for Belichick in Cleveland if the team doesn't move.
I was going to say that about, who was the, Pete Carroll? What was his record?
Not very good.
No, that's not true at all. I think it was like right around 500.
I think he was like 500.
Yeah.
Well, that's not very good by New England standards anymore.
That was New England standards at the time.
That's for
sure.
Maybe
he doesn't think 500 doesn't get you fired nowadays sometimes. I mean, take a look at Cleveland. Think about if he doesn't step on that, that's not that bad of a record at
but
that time.
It was fascinating because people forget that the Patriots and Kraft had to trade for Belichick. That's how they got him.
Yeah.
Strange.
Brady, a couple things I want to do because I know we're going to give the Sears trivia question. I think we're going to give that soon. We do have a bunch of guests we have, and we have to give our predictions. And I want the fans or the listeners to give the predictions, too. Then we'll give away the T-shirt to whoever comes the closest on the Top Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. So you can scroll that in during the course of the show from now until 6 o'clock, and then we'll cut it off at 6 o'clock, whoever comes up with the closest score to that one.
By the way, Brady, did you find a bed last night?
No bed. So I'm just going bedless the entire week. I'll be back in Burlington tomorrow. So it'll be a short sleep tonight, see what happens tonight, leave here for the airport at about 6 a.m., and get back in Burlington at about 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. So looking forward
to... You don't need a bed tonight. It's party night tonight, right?
They're all hungover, aren't they?
Yeah, no, it's party night tonight.
Yeah, no bed tonight. I have to get drunk tonight to put up with the snoring still. Like, my... I almost taped it and played it back on the show just so you guys can hear it.
I would love to hear that. Where's the big party spot tonight, by the way? What big parties?
The hotel room, probably. The hotel bar.
So there's not like the Maxim party or anything like one of those?
No,
types.
Those are all... I did get invited to the Lee Steinberg party, but that's on Saturday.
Oh, there you go.
And Lee Steinberg's a recovering alcoholic, so it's a sober party.
Well, you're not going to go to that one. So there you go.
But, another thing that I... It's what's funny is to hear some of the stories in the media workroom that the media tell each other. Like I heard a guy from ESPN talking about, the difficulties in making the 30 for 30. I thought that was interesting. And this one's been going around. We didn't talk about it, but the story Tom Brady told the other day about vacationing in Minnesota as a kid. Because Brady's mother has family in Minnesota, so he used to come up to Minnesota a lot, and he said that. It's well documented throughout the week. But one of the stories that I heard that he had told that I don't think is getting the press that it should is Brady was like 10 years old, and his family was big hunters. His uncle, his father, if I'm not mistaken, they were big hunters, so they would go to this remote part of Minnesota, and they'd all be chewing tobacco, which is something that hunters do to pass time, basically. And Brady wanted to be one of the big guys, and he was like 10 years old. And he goes, hey, I want to chew tobacco too and be like you guys. So his dad or uncle goes, okay, you can chew tobacco, but we're not stopping until we get home, which was a half-hour drive. 5 minutes later, 10-year-old Tom Brady's got his head out the window throwing up on the side of the Minnesota roads from chewing tobacco.
Little Tommy, baby.
Little Tommy with his tofu tobacco.
Yeah, can you imagine him doing that stuff now? By the way, the first prediction that came in was from Brian in Richmond that had the Eagles winning 28-10 or something
like
that.
Oh, there's a shock. I'm surprised he didn't have the Dolphins in it.
Wow! Don't be so mean. So like I said, if you want to get into the Tougher Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Sounds it's been a great week, and it just sounds like you've had a good time out there, Brady.
It's been a really busy week, but it's been a lot of fun. You know, it's very exhilarating being out here. I enjoy being out here. This is, as we said all week, I mean, the fans now are, you know, 6, 7, 8 rows deep here looking at stars, and this is a great fan experience. It's not as great for the media because it's so condensed, but you know, I wouldn't have it any other way, and you know, the Perfection Motorsports people and trailer sales have made our listeners happy, I know.
So with these 7 and 8 deep of fans, are they asking you for an autograph and kind of going, who's that guy? Which one is he?
One guy asked me to take in his pennant so I could get it signed for him. That was one thing.
There's your brush with greatness.
Can you get this signed for me?
A guy goes, hey, sir, can I ask you a question? He goes, yeah, are you in the doing all the interviews? I said, yeah. And he goes, you talking to famous people? I said, yeah. He goes, can you take my pennant in and get it signed? I was like, I got to get him to sign our own banner. I'm not getting yours signed.
Oh, my goodness, man. The nerve of some people. Huh? So
little do they know what a famous person they were dealing with.
I bet you the food court was just making tons of money over the last week, huh?
Yeah, it's been mobbed. Chick-fil-A is a hugely impressive. The guys from South Dakota are bumping into me right now, and they're packing up to leave, and he just knocked over my chair here. By the way, though, our banner is nearly completely full. It's worth a lot of money, by the way.
Yeah, I'll bet
sell it.
Is.
Let's split it and get beer and lottery tickets.
It could be worth way more than beer. I mean, Terry Bradshaw and Eric Dickerson alone should be worth more than just beer.
All right. I tell you what we want to do. We're going to give our predictions, coming up at about 4:35 or so. And we'll go through the game and break it down, and we'll do that. But first, Rich is going to have a trivia question, and the first 5 people that get it right will put your name in the hopper. We'll draw one name out, and what do they get, Rich?
Oh, well, it's funny you ask. They get themselves a fleece blanket, a mini football, and a $100 Sears gift card. I've been doing it all week. Here's your last chance. Again, this is text only. No phone calls on this one, please. If you can answer this question on our text line. The Patriots have won, 5 Super Bowls?
Yes, sir.
Tom Brady has been the Super Bowl MVP in 4 of those wins. What Patriot was the MVP in the other Super Bowl win?
I know.
Look at you, Rich. Look at you.
So there you go. First 5 that get it right will draw a name out of the 5 people in a hat in a few minutes, and they get a fleece blanket, a mini football, and a $100 Sears gift card. Check out big game deals like 70% off winter apparel at the Sears store, University Mall, South Burlington, or online at Sears.com, plus cash back in Shop Your Way points on every purchase.
All right, then. And by the way, thanks to our friends over at Perfection Motorsports and Trailer Sales, 3 miles east of Richmond, Route 2 in Jonesville. Brady, we're off and running. What do we got coming up next segment?
Well, Merrill Hodge is going to join us. Longtime NFL running back. Remember, he had the concussion issues that cut his career short. And he was also a longtime analyst on ESPN for the old popular Edge NFL matchup. So Merrill Hodge is coming over to the table. He's going to sit down with us next.
Merrill Hodge next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, the huddle is back, and Brady is live on the scene at Radio Row in Minneapolis for Super Bowl 52. Hey, how come he got to go anyways? It's the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back live at Radio Row here in Minneapolis inside the Mall of America. And the A-listers are out. We've got one of them sitting next to us right now. It's Merrill Hodge, longtime NFL running back and NFL analyst. Merrill, how are you?
A-lister. I like that.
You like that?
Way to sell it, brother. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Well, I got to say this. You were on ESPN for a long time, and I just have to tell you, I spent many overnights at 4 in the morning watching NFL matchup reruns. So thank you for that.
Oh, cool, bro. That's the greatest show, period. I mean, because the access you have there, it tells you the truth of things. In fact, doing it all those years, that's where I came up with TV lies and highlights really lie. Because if you watch TV, which I do all the time, football, I make assessments. I even put notes down. Then I watch tape, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, how far off am I? Because, you know, you only see about 20-30% of every play. There's so many other things going on that are instrumental in every play, but the camera just follows the ball.
You know, the Edge NFL matchup show, is like, for me, it was Inside the NFL, NFL primetime, and then the Edge NFL matchup. How much work went into putting on that show that you and Jaws did for all those years?
I would literally spend a realistic 40 to 55 hours for 7 minutes of on-air time.
Wow.
Because we have a 22-minute show, yeah. We used to figure out, you know, between me, Jaws, and Sal, you know, there's, you know, maybe I get 10 minutes, you know, between 7 and 10 minutes, and it takes about 50 hours to get ready for those 7 to 9 minutes.
Now, when you break down the tape of this game, we're a Patriots affiliate, so a lot of people at Radio Row just want to talk to A-listers, and we're trying to do both. We're trying to break down the game also and get our fans ready. What are you seeing on tape in this matchup?
Well, listen, the thing that the Philadelphia Eagles present to the Patriots as an issue is twofold. And actually, they're staples that you have to do in this league to really win consistently. In the NFL, more than college or high school, you have to control the tempo. Okay, so ways you can control the game is either I've got a great run defense, great defense, you're three and out a lot, or I can sustain offense, and that's by running the football. So if I do the combination of those things, I got a good shot to win every Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, the Eagles have that ability. They have a power running attack. You know, they're multifaceted offensively, so they can capitalize on a power running attack. And they have a lot of rotation in the defensive line area that will pay a difference in the third or fourth quarter. You know, you go 7 guys against 5 guys, that can wear and tear on an offensive line for a while. So they have that. The thing, though, that's hard and why it's hard to beat the Patriots, I say this all the time, that a coach has all the power but no control, because once a player walks inside the white lines of the football field, all bets are off. I mean, sometimes they try to be a hero, sometimes they jump outside the box. The Patriots don't do that. They do what they've been taught. They play as well together as a team as there is. How Brady executes an offense, listen, it is going to sound simple, but it is true. All he does is execute every play. Meaning, if you're going to give me the flat, I'm going to take the flat 800 times. Is he going to make critical throws? Absolutely. But he takes exactly what you're going to give him, and then eventually you get tired and you make a mistake, and then he makes you pay. Well, that's what other quarterbacks just don't do that in games. The flats there, they're like, you know what, I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to try to. Now instead of being second and five, it's second and 10. Well, Brady's always second and five. He's always put himself in a favorable spot. And this is one of the things that make him so incredibly consistent and so great for so long. But how he's taken care of himself. I mean, listen, anybody in sports or outside of sports, to me, should really look at that and go, everybody can do that.
Yeah.
You know, everybody can really take care of themselves. And the more you take care of yourselves, the better you take, the longer, healthier life you get to have. I mean, the more things you can enjoy. And I think it's a great message and just a great example for everybody for life's work. But it'll be hard to beat a team that is just that good and that consistent from that. But Philadelphia, if they do, those are the two things that could help them.
Last year in the Super Bowl, we saw Atlanta get out quick with that great offense. We saw Jacksonville hold the ball for a long time and dominate time of possession. Neither one beat the Patriots. What's the formula the Eagles should be trying to employ?
Well, see, that's where the Philadelphia Eagles have advantage. They have all that. They can do all of those things in one team. Well, Jacksonville did the two things I just talked about. What was the one thing that they missed? That the quarterback just needed to make the play later in the game that he just didn't. You know, that makes a difference. You know, or they make a mistake, because I will tell you this: the third down throw, I could argue that he did make the one play that mattered, but because they got a penalty, they don't get the first down. Now it's 3rd and 13. Now they don't make up for that. You know. Now keep in mind that could happen to the Patriots, and Brady also makes that.
Yeah.
You know, he makes that 3rd and 13. There's where the greatness of Brady is. But the Eagles can do that. You know, they have the ability, their quarterback, to capitalize on a great running attack, and they got that balance. That's what makes them more dangerous than the other two opponents that they faced.
Merrill Hodge, longtime NFL running back, with us here inside Radio Row, right here inside the Mall of America on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Merrill, it was well documented in your career, at the end of your career, about your concussion issues. How do you think the league has handled the concussion dilemma that it's faced now versus, you know, 20 years ago?
Well, if you think where we were 20 years ago, where they are today, they are the pioneers in this, the way they continue to evolve, the protocol that's established, and I was a part of helping establish that protocol. That's how we came up with, you know, a sanctuary where take the player outside the environment, get him evaluated. Don't let the environment, you know, affect or help him make decisions or panic him because there was a turnover or something. So what they have done for head trauma, they are the elite. They are the best. They continue to evolve in that. Doesn't mean mistakes aren't made, but every time there is, it's addressed and it's advanced. But here's the best thing. We have head trauma protocol for all sports now.
Yeah.
Okay, we've been playing football for nearly 100 years. 90 years of it, we had no head trauma protocol, nothing. We did nothing. Equipment was awful. No instruction. So how can you possibly take those facts and say football now is more dangerous or not better now than it's ever been?
Yeah.
And if you say, oh, it's because of CTE, then you are uninformed and uneducated, because the CTE and the subconcussion and the concussion stuff, there is no evidence from that that tells you that if you play football, you get that. Nothing. We have 90 years of playing football and hundreds of millions of people to pull from that era that played in those conditions, archaic conditions too, by the way. 250 million plus just in football. If you want to put subconcussive hits in there, so any contact sport, hundreds of millions of people who play in that archaic state. Their 20s through their 70s, 80s now. Where are they all? Where are all the people that now cognitively don't function, have all these issues mentally because they played youth football or youth sports or contact sports? Where are they? We don't have enough hospitals in the world to handle all of them. Where are all those people? If you just use some common sense and you ask questions, you're like, does that make sense? Is that really the case? Now we're taking care of the injury, it happened to me. Our biggest mistake, where we were behind, we weren't taking care of the injury. We did have a problem in football. That was it. We're taking care of the problem. So that is not the concern. That is not the problem now. We're doing things for the injury now. It's people who take science, turn things around, and create an awful message that's not true to scare people. That's the problem now. Where football is better and safer now at every level than it has ever been.
Merrill, we'll get you out of here on this. I'm going to need your help explaining this, because you're working with a group called Your Call Football, and this seems like a combination of real football and Madden football. Like, I need your help telling me exactly what's going on, because this seems like a revolutionary and pretty cool idea, actually.
You know what? It is exactly what you just said it is. It's the fans calling the plays. Now, here's how they'll call the plays. My job is to try to get a bundle every time there's a down and distance. So let's start with first and 10. Let's back up. There's no kickoffs or punts. Once we cross the 50, we go for it on fourth down. So fans are going to have to call plays on fourth down.
Okay.
Obviously, at some point in this game. Hopefully, if we get across the 50, which we want to do that. That being said, say it's first and 10. I'll throw a bundle of plays, options. It could be two runs, one pass, two passes. It could be all passes.
Yeah.
But you have to select the play that you want, you feel is good. That means you have to understand our team. You have to understand the strengths of our quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers. But then the majority that the fan selects is the play we run. So there's an extra 10 seconds on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Once we shut that off, the play comes in, I send it in to the huddle, and that's the play that we run. So every down and distance, the fans call it. They decide what we're doing on first and 10, second and 5, third and 2, fourth and 1.
So is this for fan engagement, or are we trying to get players out of this to go on be on NFL rosters, or both?
Really both. I mean, the first thing when they came to me that really appealed to me, we're not trying to beat the NFL. That is not the objective. We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But we want to help keep players' dreams alive. There's a lot of players that get cut that still are on that borderline that want to keep building on their craft and working on it. We want you part of it. We want to help build you. We want to keep helping work on your skill set and your craft. We're going to play professional football, and we can't, at the end of the day, you're a football fan. If you're a football fan, they would see it in a heartbeat if we're not playing good football. So that was the number one objective. It's well thought out. It's going to cater to – now the fan's going to have that feeling after they're done. I called the play. I had an impact in this game, and they can't complain. Now, they may complain to the fans that they voted on the wrong thing, but they can't blame the coaches because the fans are going to be solely responsible for it.
Merrill, we appreciate the time.
Anytime, brother.
All right, there you go, Merrill Hodge, stopping on by. Very cool, Brady. Very good to go ahead and listen to him. How did he look?
He looks great. Yeah. I missed the old Edge NFL matchup show. This whole thing, your call football. Like I was
fascinated by that. I was listening to that. I'm fascinated.
I mean, so it's like you have an idea. Like the bundle of plays is on your phone, and you're going to vote
right
for which play they should
what
run.
What league is this, though? I didn't hear that part, though.
It's just called your call football, and I want to say there's like three or four teams.
I want to play.
This could be something you could actually play.
Arnie's but Army.
There used to be a team called the Vermont Frost Heaves that used to play basketball here.
Yes, and they were very good.
So Merrill Hodge looked great. Pretty strong on the concussion stuff. I thought that was interesting. And then, you know, he's one of the best there is at breaking down tape. And he's another one who thinks that the Eagles can do a lot of things against the Patriots, but he also is of the belief that, hey, the Patriots aren't going to beat themselves, as you heard.
I'm going with the Eagles, but I'll give my official pick as we do that next segment. But first, Rich, you had a trivia question. Read the question again and then give the answer. A lot of people chimed on in about this
one. Yeah, I guess they did.
A lot of people chimed on in.
Yeah, I don't think there was as much cheating as usual. They didn't have to Google it.
Just
people seemed to know it immediately.
Just Chris DeMet fan tried to be funny.
Oh, yeah, he put Eli Manning.
Well, because technically, you know, because – but it was the five Super Bowl wins. But right. Go ahead.
And one – what was it they put on the bumper sticker? And one giant loss. Anyway, Tom Brady has won four Super Bowl MVPs. The Patriots have won five Super Bowls. Who was the only Patriot besides Tom Brady to win an MVP?
I know.
Go
what
ahead.
Is it, Brady? Deion Branch?
Deion Branch is
Deion
correct.
Deion Branch is correct.
You
ding,
win
ding,
nothing.
Ding, ding, ding.
That was
all right. Well, hey, I was right.
That was Super Bowl 34 against the Philadelphia Eagles.
ironically enough. So
back in 05. So
the first five you put in a hat, right. Pour out the hopper, and put this down. And who is the winner?
Glenn in Moncton.
Glenn in Moncton.
One of Vermont's most beautiful towns. Moncton, Vermont. Congratulations, Glenn. We'll be in touch with you. And you just won yourself a fleece blanket, a mini football, and a $100 Sears
Glenn
gift card.
Glenn in Moncton. And tell him to text us his last name and address and all that stuff.
Yeah, so and a social security number.
No social security number. We don't need all that. But there you go.
I'll get
Glenn
that
in
later.
Moncton. Congratulations on winning that. And, of course, getting the $100 gift card. So very excited about that.
Yes, and don't forget to check out the big game deals like 70% off winter apparel at the Sears store, University Mall, South Burlington. You can also go online. They are at Sears.com plus cashback and their Shop Your Way points on every purchase.
All right, people stopped giving predictions to get into the contest. Now we want everything game-wise, Brady. We want predictions, X factors, thoughts, what's going to happen, who's having a party, what you're going to eat at the party, what's your go-to food. Do you have a go-to food for the Super Bowl?
Yes, I do, beer.
That's it. Brady, you got a go-to food or what?
Yeah, game day wings at McGillicuddy's Five Corners in Essex. We'll see you there. At 6 o'clock.
That's true. I love the wings, dude. The way I had so many wings yesterday, it was gonna make me barf. I totally chowed on down. So text that in now on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Whoever comes the closest to the score. But you got to pick the right team. Not just the score, but you got to pick the right team. We'll give you a 101.3 t-shirt. But we'll come down, come back, break it down every which way possible. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The big game is drawing closer, and we've got our guy on the scene. The Huddle is back, and Brady is live on Radio Row in Minneapolis at Super Bowl 52. Who's he going to talk to next? Keep listening to The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Thanks to our friends over at Perfection Motorsports and Trailer Sales. It's 3 miles east of Richmond, Route 2 in Jonesville. That's why Brady is at Super Bowl 52. Last day for him out there. He's going to be heading back, first thing tomorrow morning, right?
Yeah, first thing tomorrow morning, be on the plane, 8 o'clock, and then I'll be going to Philly. So we'll see what the crowds look like in the Philly airport tomorrow.
Getting tons of text on the Town Fair Tire text line all over the place, like Andrew in Colchester. A lot of people picking Eagles more so than I thought they're guys.
Yep.
31-29. And by the way, he loves homemade pulled pork nachos and stuffed sliders. So I'm going to his house. That's where I'm going, for crying out loud. Jason has Patriots 31-27 over the Eagles. Eric and Fletcher 28-17 Patriots. Jason at Plattsburgh 31-24. A lot of close games there, guys.
I haven't seen any 35-7 type score predictions of you.
No, well, I'll tell you what. Let's do ours. Give me a little music, intern Aaron. Put us in the mood. We can't just give Super Bowl predictions without being a little bit in the mood. I'll go first. Guys, I think...
I'll never guess what you're going to pick.
Well, I think it's going to be another close game. I really do. I think this one's going to be within 4 or 5 points.
Okay.
I don't think the Patriots are going to score in the first quarter. I think that trend continues for whatever that's worth. Probably means nothing. I could see a 3-0 Philadelphia lead. I really think the team that scores first is going to have such the major... major advantage in this one, because it's going to be tough to come back from a 10-point deficit. I could see it being tied at like 13-13 at halftime. I could see it being tied 23-23 as we're late in the game, and Brady's got the ball. He's got the ball right around the midfield, and he's throwing the ball, and it gets picked off. But guess what? Philadelphia doesn't take a knee. Foles comes back, throws the ball, and gets in line for a 52-yard field goal on the last play of the game. It is up. And it is good. I got the Eagles winning 26-23, Rich.
All right.
You like that one?
You need a trip to the ER.
You like that one, Rich?
You're
like
a little exhausted.
This is why I'm not a play-by-play announcer.
Brady, go figure. He's picking against the Pats, and
Brady,
you'll never guess who I'm picking.
Yeah, I think you're picking the Pats too, Rich. What's your score?
Well, no, I'm looking at and I know this isn't really a road game, but it's not a home game. And Philadelphia was two different teams, home and away, this year. I mean, they were scored 10 more points per game at home this year. They were, I think they're 9-1 overall at Philly. The other thing that I haven't heard much about, especially when Gronk cleared the protocol, is that the Pats are about as healthy as they've been all season. I mean, they're nicked up, but having 2 weeks off is a huge help. They were never healthy this season. I love the Alshon Jeffrey guarantee. It's about the dumbest thing a human can do. And I just don't buy back-to-back Nick Foles masterpieces. He was terrible at the end of the season when Wentz went down. I just don't think he's got a second straight game against that defense in him. New England, 33. Philadelphia, 21.
Wow. You know, blowout.
I told you all week long it's been a trend here where at the beginning of the week, everybody was picking the Patriots. As the week has gone on, more and more people are buying into the Eagles. I'm in reverse. I thought for the first 4 days I was out here, I was going to pick the Eagles. I really did. I like the way that Nick Foles can operate the offense. I like the run-pass option. We've broken down the tape with everybody. I've talked to everybody down here. I like what the Eagles can do. I think they can run the ball. They've got the number one rush defense in the league. But that said, as it came to Friday and it's come time to make the prediction, I've got the same score as Arnie, but on the other side.
Oh!
26-23 Patriots. It will be close. They've all been close. I think the Eagles present all kinds of problems. But at the end of the day, the Patriots, those running backs out of the backfield, and somebody makes a big play in the end.
So
I think Stephon Gilmore is the guy who's going to make a big play in the end.
Okay, that's why I want to give us some dramatics there. 26-23, somebody's got to make a final play or something like that, Brady.
Fine. Here's your dramatics.
Yeah.
Stephon Gilmore is a stud in this game. We railroaded him for the first 10 weeks of the season. He was hurt. He made a big play at the end of the AFC title game. He gets it done on the defensive side, and why would I go anywhere else? Offensive side of the ball, Rex Burkhead.
Oh, no.
Rex Burkhead, 6 catches.
Not that
54
guy.
Yards. Touchdown.
Whoa.
Winner.
So basically all three of us are exactly what everyone knew we'd be.
Rex Burkhead for MVP on Sunday.
You know, Brady, you and I have it at 49, over under 48 to 48 and a half. I'm not too confident in that 49. I can see it being a 23-21, 24-21, and then all of a sudden you're on the outside looking in on the over-under on that one, Brady.
Did you do any Super Bowl squares, Arnie?
No, I didn't do it. I'm sure you'll probably be doing it at McGillicuddy's, but I got to tell you, I do have all the prop bets in front of you, but no, I didn't do these Super Bowl squares. Why, you want to get in on that or what?
No, I did a couple squares. I've got numbers 1 for the Eagles and 0 for the Pats.
Oh, those are fantastic numbers.
Those are great numbers.
Yeah, I got decent.
What did you do with that? Who had that number? Who had that square?
One of my brother's friends from back home.
Oh, wow.
Valuable.
31-20, you know, Eagles 31-20, 41-40, somewhere in there. I got a good, I think I got a good haul of numbers there.
All right, just some prop bets in case people are interested in betting the Super Bowl, but don't want to bet the game. You don't want to have some fun with the other stuff. Will the first kickoff by Jake Elliott result in a touchback? Yes or no?
Yes.
They're all in touchbacks, right? By the way,
except for Gostkowski. Yeah.
Right. Well,
he purposely doesn't.
Well, I would bet $1 million on the yes. It's minus 270. That's less than 3-1. And you'd be super rich.
That does seem too obvious to me.
What happens if he miskicks it and they run it back?
Yeah, really, an indoor squib kick? That doesn't happen too often.
Here's something I'm going
to... Onside kick to start the game.
Oh, I don't have odds on that, but I wouldn't do that. That's for sure. Tom Brady's first pass, complete or incomplete? Minus 270 to plus 220.
Incomplete.
That's plus 220. You know he's going to get a complete. He's going to have a little dump off.
Oh, yeah,
you know that.
Just a little silly thing to grow.
Yeah, that doesn't mean, you know, that doesn't mean he's not going to catch it, but whatever. Will Tom Brady throw an interception? It's about 50-50, yes or no?
No.
I'm not so sure about that. Yeah. Why are you so sure about that, Brady?
He threw a pick six last year to Robert Alford. He's not going to make the mistake again.
Rushing, the first rushing attempt by Tom Brady, the first time he rushed the football.
It'll be 4th and 1.
Now, I don't know if this means if there's a rushing attempt, if you're taking a knee. I got to assume he's going to run before that. Will he gain over under a yard and a half?
That is actually a bet?
Yeah, it says here, first rushing attempt by Tom Brady, over under 1.5
yards.
I
will bet against that because I think it's a knee. You're right. It wouldn't surprise me if he takes a knee with 5 seconds left.
No, he'll scramble.
It's going to be under because it's going to be a sack. So a sack goes as negative rushing.
That's true, too. Now, I don't have the fine print of a sack counts, but you do bring up a good point out there. How about the first rushing attempt by Deion Lewis? Over under 3.5.
Over.
Man.
Yeah, well, I'm not so sure, but they have a good... You understand that Philadelphia's got a good defense, boys? Do you?
Number one rush defense in the league.
I don't know where you're getting all this over on stuff on that.
Just give me the odds on Rex Burkhead being the MVP.
Because that's all he really cares about.
I tell you what, if Rex Burkhead comes out and goes 6 for 54 and a score, you are all going to be just eating crow so hard on Monday.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it won't happen. I hope it does.
I think Rex Burkhead is last year's James White.
You think he's going to have a game like White where, you know, double-digit catches? And
no, but he's going to do enough. 6 for 54. Look, ever since Rex Burkhead stepped on the field in the preseason game against Houston and Detroit, I've been a believer.
It was love at first sight. Absolutely.
I've been a believer.
Yeah. They have all kinds of hockey props tied into the Super Bowl. They have pretty much everything. I'm trying to find, I think I may have the Rex Burkhead most valuable player right here in front of me. Matter of fact, I have the most valuable player. I don't think Rex Burkhead, I think he's in the field, which is 25-1, which 25-1 is not bad there. You know what I mean? That's not too shabby.
We should try to localize some of these. You know, who gets this? More catches. Will Trey Bell Haynes have more assists than Brady has sacks?
Oh, that would have been funny. No doubt about that.
UVM Hoops losses in America East play or Tom Brady rushing yards?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Sounds about even.
You know, a lot of people always bet, believe it or not, they have like the top 10 most bet propositions over under rushing touchdown, 1.5 yards. So what they're saying is the ball going to be placed on the 1-yard line and they're going to punch it in? Otherwise, you got to get a penalty or get it down to the 1-yard line.
Right.
So a lot of people say yes, and then that's the shortest They go under the 1.5 yards.
Now, I'll tell you, I hear this stuff, and it sends me even further away from betting. I've literally never placed a bet on anything in my life, and this makes me want to. Maybe if the Pats weren't playing, I'd do it so I could pay attention. But there's too much to watch as a Patriots fan.
Brady, any final X factor, final thoughts? Maybe Philadelphia wins. If something happens, what? You tell me.
If Philadelphia wins, I think there's going to be some kind of trickery involved. And I don't know if it's a flea flicker or anything, but some kind of reverse, some kind of wide receiver pass. I just think the way that the Eagles can stretch the field laterally and the creativity that they have in their offense with Foles now, who's run that Chip Kelly system back in 2013 really, really well, I think they're going to play to his strengths. I think those are his strengths. If he can get out laterally and get a receiver in motion, I think something weird could happen. I think the Eagles are going to be creative on offense, and if they do win this game, it's going to be because they were creative.
I'm curious what you think about this. I think both Tom Brady and Nick Foles will not win the most valuable player. I think the quarterbacks, I think Tom Brady could have a little bit of a tough time. I think Nick Foles could have a little bit of a tough time, and it could go to a defensive player on Philadelphia, or if the Patriots do win, maybe somebody like a Brandon Cooks or one of the running backs.
Well, I'll tell you, they could sure use Darren Sproles in this game. I was thinking him the other day. You talk about a guy like a James White, you know, who just in a Deion Lewis, and missing Sproles certainly doesn't help.
Well, they've got Smallwood, they've got Clement. They've got guys that are those short, shifty backs. They've also got the big bruiser in Ajayi and Blunt. I do like what the Eagles can do offensively. That's why all week in my mind, I had the Eagles being the champs. But today, I woke up.
Couldn't do it.
I woke up in that terrible, snoring-ridden room, and I said to myself, you know what? They're getting this done again. They're getting it done one more time. By the way, one last takeaway on the 30 for 30 last night. Did you see the hits that Montana was getting in those games against the Giants? Like, my God, that would have been a 35-yard penalty right now. Yep. The one hit he had, he threw an interception. He didn't even see the ball.
Well, the one he got hit from behind, I think he was down for quite some time, as I recall, wasn't he? He was a ways back. But
that was a very good film. Lots of talk about that.
Yep. All right, we'll finish out the hour with this, and you're going to love this. If you're a Patriots fan, you may have about $250,000 sitting in your house right now. We're going to tell you what we're talking about when we get back. And you know what? You may have it. It's not too far-fetched. We'll tell you about that when we get back right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Two-thirds of the huddle are freezing here in Vermont while Brady is live on radio in Minneapolis, living it up. Actually, he's probably freezing, too. We're getting you ready for Super Bowl 52 right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. By the way, thanks to our friends over at Perfection Motorsports and Trailer Sales, just 3 miles east of Richmond, Route 2 in Jonesville. That's why Brady is out at the Super Bowl, so we want to thank them. I want to get to this one. I saw this story. It was written by Darren Revelle. Tom Brady rookie card. By the way, if you have a Tom Brady rookie card and you're a Patriot fan, you better hold on to that thing right now.
But if you're not a Patriot fan, should
hold
you
on to
that
thing
too?
Right now, because the rookie card just sold for $250. $1,000 on
autographed?
eBay. No, that's just the rookie card.
That's crazy. That's a very common item.
It says here it shattered the record for the highest price paid for a Brady collectible and the second highest price paid ever for a modern day sports card. The card, a playoff contender rookie ticket championship version, is one of 100 that were produced in 2000.
Okay.
It says the previous high for the Brady collectible sold at auctions was a game-used jersey, which sold for $57,000 last February. The only modern-day card that is sold for more at auction than Brady's was a LeBron Logo Man 1-of-1 rookie card, which sold for $312,000. Wow. No, that's not autographed, no.
No, but so Brady was so obscure at that point, they only made 100 of them, thinking, who cares?
Well, the card is signed, but it's like the reprint of your signature.
That's unreal.
Right. So, wow.
There's a guy walking around today in a Tom Brady Michigan jersey. By the way, the Eagle fans have taken over today. Yeah. Every 5 minutes, there's an E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles chant.
They're feeling good.
And some brawls, I assume, since they've arrived.
By the way, Brady, I didn't even ask, have you seen anybody trying to sell tickets or anything like that out there or what?
No, I have not, but I haven't been outside, really. So
no, I didn't mean, I thought maybe in the mall or something they'd be walking around, you know?
No, what the interesting thing was the mayor of Minneapolis was in here talking to some Eagle fans, welcoming them to the city.
Wow, I wonder if he's got tickets. I'm sure he's got tickets out there. All right,
well,
Brady.
I know a lot of people who are going. A lot of people I've met out here are going.
All right, I want to stay close because we got Buster Olde coming up. You're going to have a sports center up there. They got a lot to. You're going to talk to us. You're going to talk to Buster with us, are you not?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk to Buster. I'm going to embarrass you. The first question, I'm going to embarrass you with Buster. You know that, don't you?
Sure.
Do you know what I'm going to do? You'll be surprised. We'll get to that. Brady's going to have a sports center update. 1 hour in the books right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle is back, and Brady is live on the scene at Radio Row in Minneapolis for Super Bowl 52. Hey, how come he got to go anyways? It's The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. By the way, Brady out in Minneapolis, thanks to our friends over at Perfection Motorsports and Trailer Sales, 3 miles east of Richmond, Route 2 in Jonesville. Yeah. We're going to have John Brakus going to join us at about 20 past the hour, so you'll want to stick around for that. And, of course, Power Play,
Yeah. The
new and exciting game, sweep of the country, and not to downgrade Brady, but I wrote it. It took me 3 minutes to write it, and did I not dumb it down, Rich?
I would say there's certain aspects of it without giving it away that are making it difficult.
I dumbed it down.
The answer is pretty much the same for every one of them.
I dumbed it down, for crying out loud.
Well, if you're going to look at it that way, I guess you did dumb it down.
I did dumb it down. So we got Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweep of the country, and that's coming up in a little bit. While we're trying to get a hold of Buster Olney, Brady, of course, out at the Super Bowl. I wish you were staying for the game, Brady. That, you know, sometimes that's the best part of that thing, you know?
Yeah, you know what? I'd rather hang out. You know, I'd rather be at McGillicuddy's. I'd rather be with you guys. You know, Jess will be there. Chris, the sales guy, will be there. I'd rather hang out at the Super Bowl.
Good. I want Jess to be there because she was the one person who wasn't cheering against the Patriots as I'm running around hugging and crying on everyone's shoulder after that stunner last year.
I want you all to know that I have your gifts. They are bought.
Nice.
And they are ready to come back for
you. Well, I'll tell you what, you'll tell us more about that because if I don't like my gift, I'm going to make you return it and buy me something else. But first, I want to go ahead and go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line joining us now, as he does every week, our MLB Insider. It's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm doing great. Not as excited for the Super Bowl as I'm sure you guys are.
that's for sure. You know, Buster, I want to start off with this. I told Brady I was going to embarrass him a little bit. 6 months ago, I was telling Brady a story about, bullpen carts and coming in with the, golf carts dressed up in team logos. He thought I was joking. He had never seen a bullpen cart, and now they want to bring it back. I saw that. I would love to bring something like that back, Buster.
Yeah, I would too. I am sort of amazed that it is an official proposal. That they're actually officially using it as a proposal. Yeah. These pace of play negotiations, where the union is saying, we want to explore the use of bullpen carts. Really? I don't know. The look isn't good. I agree with you. I grew up with bullpen carts.
Oh, yeah.
Fenway Park, loved it. But at the same time, that might be something that you might as well be asking for walkers after that.
Brady, you didn't even know. You had to look that up, did you not?
Yes, and remember we asked our buddy Paul Lucas, ESPN's uniform expert, about it, and he confirmed it. Buster, isn't it going to ruin these pristine fields, though? Isn't that one of the complaints against it?
Well, part of MLB's response yesterday to the union was, they would use carts where it was viable. So they probably have as much concern. But think about it. A bullpen cart's going to go racing out there. The reliever jumps in. They go along, I'm assuming, the warning track. And then they pull alongside the infield, and the guy jumps out and walks the play. Is it really going to save that much time? I mean, seriously, you guys know that. I mean, not every bullpen cart driver is going to be as efficient as others.
No. They used to have, some of them used to drive cars. Used to drive like a real car out of the bullpen.
Oh, my gosh. That was such a part of my youth, though, at Fenway, sitting in the bleachers with Dad. Well, and off the golf cart would go with a little Red Sox cap on the top of it.
Right, and as you guys talk about it right now, Brady's preparing a second career.
Hey, Buster, fascinating article about Brian Cashman, I mean, that you wrote. I mean, talk about that guy. He has managed to basically stay under the radar in a place that seems almost impossible to do and continue to have success at the same time.
Yeah, that's what I've heard from other executives this week. Like, one of them said to me, what is that, like 140 in dog years when you get a general manager in New York for 20 years? And, you know, before dismiss it, think about this. During Brian's time running the Yankees, there have been 9 different executives leading the New York Knicks. You know, the Mets have had 4 or 5. It's remarkable, especially when you consider that for the first half of his 20 years, he was working under George Steinbrenner, who, of course, made a name for himself by firing people. And, you know, Brian, I did a long podcast interview with him that was fascinating because he talked about, you know, how he always borrows from other people, you know, ideas that he's seen from other people. And he said in the thing that after the Red Sox started to ascend under Theo Epstein 2003-2004, you know, he talked to George Steinbrenner. Look, they're doing something over there. They're evaluating players who are performing above expectations. There's something to that. So he drew from the Red Sox in that point. I think the Yankees changed because the Red Sox had changed, and Brian's changed a lot during the course of his career.
Buster, I'm confused. Last week we asked you if Vladimir Guerrero was going to pick the Expos cap or the Angels cap for the Hall of Fame, and you said the Hall of Fame picks. So why is Vlad picking the Angels?
Well, I think that the Hall of Fame reserves the right to step in.
Okay.
To that. Now, I've heard what was his explanation was is that, you know, the Expos they're gone away. Like, they're no longer a team. So it might be smarter for him to go in as an Angels player.
All right, Buster. Things, and this is getting serious now with the baseball free agency, things could start getting ugly. One agent's using the C word, collusion. Things are moving slow. I feel like it's starting to get tighter on the collar right now. This thing's going to start busting loose at the seams there, Buster.
It is. Yeah. It absolutely is. Look, and, you know, there's an assumption on management side and among some agents that I talked to that, you know, the union probably worked out some of this in concert where you had statements put out by agents this morning, and then this afternoon, Tony Clark, the head of the Player Association, puts out a statement on a conference call they had a couple days ago. They're talking about boycotting the start of spring training to make a point. And I just sent out a tweet a little while ago. Look, I think the union really needs to get organized on its side and to come up with a sound long-term strategy because I mean, they negotiated the terms of the current CBA 14 months ago, and now they're very unhappy with what's gone on here, what's transpired this winter, and they really run the risk if they, you know, start talking about we're going to have a labor stoppage, the players aren't going to participate, and then players who, believe me, I talk to players all the time, if they privately don't agree with what's going on and some of them start to drift into camp, it could do serious damage to an already weakened union.
Wow.
And to me, it feels like that they're, this conversation about work stoppage and that sort of thing is way too early for the union. And it's sort of like being in a card game and saying, you know, trying to represent to the people at the table, I got a pair of aces, when in fact you only have a 2 and a 3. It's not a good idea.
Wow. My gosh, boycotting spring training. There's three worst words ever in my world. I've already booked the flight out west. So, yeah. Buster, and I feel as a Sox fan that they're walking a very dangerous line here with Mookie Betts. I mean, do you sort of look at that and say, why are they doing this?
Absolutely. And look, they made an effort to try to sign into a long-term deal. But Mookie, I'm not going to pretend that I know him really well, but I've been around him enough, talked to him enough to know this is a really circumspect person. And, you know, the fact that he went to arbitration and he won, I think probably increases the likelihood he's going to walk away as a free agent in a few years. And look, especially once you're a young player and you get the first big payday, making $10.5 million this year, it gives you the flexibility to make more aggressive decisions down the road. And I absolutely think it was a short-sighted decision by the Red Sox to handle it the way they did.
Buster, one of the Red Sox and Yankees rivals, the Toronto Blue Jays, I can't quite gauge what they're doing. Are they in or are they out? They make a good move, in my mind, trading for Solarte in the infield. They've made a couple other moves like I like with Curtis Granderson, but they're also not going all in to try to get Josh Donaldson signed long-term. Where exactly are they right now?
Yeah, they're representing that they're in. I mean, to follow up on the analogy, but here's the deal. You know, I'm sure that if you gave true serum to the Blue Jays people, they're saying, look at the Yankees, where they're positioned. Look at the Red Sox with all those great young players. And the Blue Jays the last couple of years have really done a lot of great work rebuilding their farm system, but they're probably not close to contending. And I think under normal circumstances, you might have seen them sell off this winter. But here's the thing. Last year, they drew like 3.5 million people. And I think they have to respect that. I think they have to honor that. So they'll start the year with Donaldson. They'll start the year with Marcus Stroman. And if the year doesn't go well in the first half and they're not competitive, I think you probably see them make some adjustments and sell off. So they are. I think your read on it's 100% right. I think that they're trying to thread the needle.
You know, Buster, a little left turn here because I'm going to give you a name. I actually don't even know this guy. I'm hoping that you know something about him because I saw that story. Is it Mark Appel, the number one pick
Mark
over?
Appel.
What? This guy was drafted number one overall, what was it, 5 years ago, never made it to the major leagues, and now he's walking away from baseball. What went wrong here?
Well, I can tell you that there were questions at the time of the draft because if you guys remember, the Astros had the first pick that year and the Cubs had the second pick. I bet you that the Cubs probably were doing rain dances in their front office saying, please pass on Mark Appel because we like that guy, Chris Bryant. And when the Astros passed on Bryant and instead chose Appel, you know, they took on a pitcher who was thought to be very talented, a hard thrower, but also someone who had had some ups and downs. And look, pitchers are an inexact science, and on the other hand, position players like Brian are sort of rock-solid guys. And I think the Astros probably made a mistake with their selection, you know, because of Appel's talent, but it just never really came together for him. I've never talked to him. I've heard he's a great guy. You wish him the best, but he's going to be one of those guys we're going to talk about throughout Chris Bryant's career, all the way up to when he probably gets inducted to the Hall of Fame someday.
Yeah, it's like Brian Taylor with the Yankees years ago.
Yes, 100%. Yes.
And there are so many others. But I guess netting, getting expanded now throughout Major League Baseball, I mean, does that surprise you that MLB kind of went the way they did? I mean, it almost feels like they're bullying the teams and leaving them with no choice, or am I reading that wrong?
Well, I think that after we had, you know, some high-profile incidents and, you know, one or two teams extended the netting, I mean, and I'm not a lawyer, you know, but I'll just repeat things that I've heard from other lawyers in baseball. The teams that didn't extend the nettings were leaving themselves very exposed, as well as their fans, because if something happened, you know, you're a team, you couldn't come out and claim, well, we didn't know that. We didn't know about the risk there. It had been well established at that point. And you'd like to think that everyone also was driven by the desire to do something the right way. And clearly, at this point, it was the right thing to do to extend the netting.
Buster, so I'm out here at Radio Row at the Super Bowl, and I've seen a lot of cool things, a lot of big shots, a lot of cool people. One of the funniest things I saw was at the media party on Tuesday night, an unnamed two-time Super Bowl champion drunk and dancing in front of the karaoke cover band. What's the coolest thing you've seen covering an event?
Oh, my God. Boy, is that a wide-open question.
Yeah.
Believe me, if we start telling stories about drunk people, winter meetings, boy, oh, boy.
Yeah.
There are a couple of people who I'm surprised didn't lose their jobs after what I saw at the winter meetings. They were out in public and had never been reported. Let me just leave it that way.
I'll tell you what, Buster, I'm going to let you go out on this. I know you had a great article, not to bring everything down, but Kevin Towers passing away, really one of the good guys. I know you had an article about him.
Yeah, no, he was, Kevin was a good friend. You know, he went to my wedding, I went to his wedding.
Wow, wow.
And I covered the Padres when he was the scouting director there. I mean, he's such a good person. And that was the reaction the last 14 months after he was diagnosed with a terminal cancer. And it was remarkable to me in a business where, you know, everything gets out, all the information gets out. He's so respected that none of that ever got out because
right.
Kevin had made it clear he didn't want to talk about it. And so as I wrote in the story the other day, it was the worst kept secret in baseball because everybody knew it. You know, I talked to Bruce Bochy or Brian Cashman or Theo Epstein, and I'd say, hey, what do you hear from KT? You know, how's he doing? What's the latest you hear on his condition? Everyone was talking about it, but no one talked about it out loud until during Game 4 of the World Series. A.J. Hinch, the manager of the Astros, held up one of the stand-up-to-cancer cards, and he wrote Kevin Towers. And A.J. told me the other day, and he was getting very emotional talking about it, he called Kevin beforehand and said, look, I just want to make sure this is okay with you. And Kevin was overwhelmed by the response. And the terminal illness and the 14 months leading up to his death, very hard. But I was so happy for a friend that he got to hear how much people loved him.
Wow.
Oh, that's yeah, a rough story. Week. Oscar Gamble, too. Boy,
yeah.
I remember him like it was yesterday.
Wow.
But just to leave on a happier note, it'll only be happier for me if you say the right thing here. Who wins on Sunday?
Yeah, what's your prediction?
Not the Vikings, okay? I feel better about that. I don't want to talk about football.
All right, Buster, you got it.
Is that a no?
have a great weekend, buddy, and look forward to speaking to you next week.
See you guys.
Take care. Buster Older, everybody. Yeah, he's
Boy,
Vikings around. I love it. Yeah.
I mean, what, 7 years of talking to him every week? I think I finally touched a nerve.
I love it, Brady. He didn't want to go and do his football prediction. You know, he's like, hey, if Vikings aren't in, I don't care, you know? But Brady's talking to somebody, you know? Brady's just having the time of his life out there.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. Is he going to come back, or is he just going to hang out in Minneapolis?
Well, I hope
time?
He comes back because he's supposed to host the McGillicuddy's Five Corners Super Bowl party
and
this Sunday.
And
if he doesn't, I'm going to end up doing it, which probably wouldn't be a good idea.
My wife is there right now. Check it out. Was it the 60-inch TV?
Okay.
Well, we're giving that away. You're saying, okay, you're looking at me like I'm making it up.
No, I just didn't know that it was there right already.
Yeah, well, it just came now, and she was checking it on out. I know we're going to be giving that away.
We are. We're giving away the 60-inch 4K smart TV, compliments of Easy Home Furnishings in Essex Junction. We will be giving that baby away at halftime. We've also got lift tickets to ski at Smuggler's Notch. Trust me, the conditions are sweet for the weekend out there. Movie passes to Essex Cinemas, and we got lots of swag from 802 Love Vermont, ESPN, Blue Moon, and Coors Light. So we will see you at our Super Bowl watch party. It was
I told
out
you
of
were
control
giving,
last year.
I told you we're giving away a TV. You look at me like, oh, we are?
Well, I just saw 4K, and I have no idea what that means.
Oh, you see, that's the problem. But it's a 60-incher, though.
No, but if you throw something like 4K, it makes it sound even more impressive.
You're thinking like the computers are going to go bad at midnight or something, right?
So we'll have the party. 6 o'clock is when we'll start. Get there before then. It was packed to the gills last year.
You know what's coming up next? Who is one of Brady's favorite people?
Rex Burke.
No, well, besides that, to interview, since we've been doing the show for about a year and a half. You know the sports science guy.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, John.
He talks about him all the time.
John Brankus.
Yep.
He talks about it. And he had a chance to catch up with him at the Super Bowl because he's in high demand. So that's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The big game is drawing closer, and we've got our guy on the scene. The Huddle is back, and Brady is live on Radio Row in Minneapolis at Super Bowl 52. Who's he going to talk to next? Keep listening to The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back. It's 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com live at Radio Row, day five. And it took until day five, but we've got one of my favorite interviews. We had him last year, and I'm a sports nerd, so I'm going to geek out here for the next 10 minutes. It's John Brankus, the longtime host of Sports Science. It's been on ESPN. It's been on Fox Sports. It's coming back again soon.
Coming back. It's coming back bigger, stronger, different brand.
Yeah.
But if you liked Sports Science, you're going to love what's next.
Uh-oh. Well, all right. I know you can't give too many details, but Is it a half hour long? Is it an hour long?
We're gonna revolutionize all right. sport as you know it.
All right. So last year, I remember my main question to you was justify that hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports, and you shot that down.
Shot it.
So I want you to know that I took that knowledge back to the men's league this year and told them also why they should not use weighted bats in the on deck circle.
And did anybody listen?
They were flabbergasted, but I actually played the interview for them and said, listen, this guy knows.
Right. Yeah, it's the what's interesting is how the perception of this is what I'm supposed to do and the reality of what you're supposed to do are two different things.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to break habits. And I, you know, there's so many different things in sports that I can just prove beyond the shadow of a doubt, but I just don't think people listen because there's just it's steeped in tradition.
What's another one? The weighted bat or the donut in the on-deck circle? We disproved that last year. What's another one that we think we should do that we shouldn't?
That if you were trying to pick a running back as a general manager in the NFL, you don't want the biggest, strongest, or fastest guy. You want someone who falls in what I call the Goldilocks zone. They're big enough, strong enough, fast enough. So you take somebody like Emmitt Smith.
Yeah.
Right? He's not that big. He's not that fast. I mean, relative to human beings, he's big and fast, but not relative to the guys on the field. But you don't want someone who's super fast. I'll give you a statistic. The top 10 people from the NFL combine 40-yard dash time, top 10 times of all time on the offensive side of the ball. Two of the top 10 have 1,000 yards in a season. The other eight don't have 1,000 yards in their career.
Really?
So speed comes at a cost because F equals MA, force is mass times acceleration. The greater the mass or the greater the acceleration, the greater the force. So if you're really, really, really fast, you're probably, your frame is probably not one that's going to absorb a blow in football. So you're experiencing a tremendous amount of force. And if you're really, really, really big, your frame also, you don't realize that another law of Newtonian physics is that when two objects collide, each object experiences an equal amount of force.
Yeah.
That means that if you're a great big running back, even a great big fast running back, every time you have a collision, you're experiencing that tremendous amount of force. And that's going to shorten your career.
Is that why the Patriots are so successful at the running back position? Because they have a bunch of guys that fall in that kind of hybrid Deion Lewis and James White, Rex Burkhead mold?
Absolutely. And they keep just swapping people out.
Yeah.
Right? They realize, well, we're not going to build a franchise on the back of a running back because the odds of them getting hurt is so high. And that's why, you know, I think Emmitt Smith's record is going to be almost impossible to beat because he got so many reps over so many years. I just don't think that the game is structured in such a way now that any one team is going to stick with a running back for that long.
You know, one of the things that's amazed me, I don't know if you've got a chance to see it, but we've been watching this Tom versus Time documentary. It's Brady's miniseries. And in episode 2, where he talked about the physical game, it was amazing to see somebody who's been around the game that long focusing so acutely on his mechanics and just the way his hips rotate and just, you know, how high his elbow is on his release. That stuff makes a huge difference.
It does make a huge difference. What's interesting about the Tom versus Time is if you were to just break down Tom Brady as a quarterback and just objectively, you know, you don't know the name of the person and you're looking at release time, arm strength, pocket mobility, accuracy, Tom Brady isn't somebody who rates at the top of any of those curves, but he ranks high with the exception of pocket mobility. He ranks high in almost all of them, which is kind of that Goldilocks zone. Another thing that can sort of help explain how has he been able to do what he's done for so long is think about Tom Brady's career. The rules at the position of quarterback have evolved with him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only sustained one major injury.
Yeah.
Right? He paved the way for Matt Castle. Matt Castle has got to be incredibly grateful for being given that opportunity. But beyond that, he is a guy that, look, he created the tuck rule.
Yeah.
He has been the beneficiary of the you can't really hit a quarterback anymore. And when you're playing underneath those rules as the game is evolving, I think a lot of quarterbacks are going to be playing a long time.
John Brankus of Sports Science, and now a newly rebranded Sports Science coming back to us soon, so I can't wait for that. He's here with us on Radio Row. You know, one of the things when I started thinking about mechanics also is where does the line come between trying to do it perfect and doing what's comfortable? Like, Philip Rivers doesn't throw textbook. Lonzo Ball doesn't shoot textbook. But these guys have been doing it for so long and have had relative degrees of success. So
would you try to change, like, should Lonzo Ball be trying to change his shot, or should he just trying to be getting better at the shot that he currently has because he's been doing it like that?
It's a great debate to have, because the idea of there's one way to throw a ball or one way to shoot a basketball or one way to swing a bat is just, it's just not right. There is a theoretical ideal. And so if you're in all of those motions, it deals with the kinetic linking chain. That's drawing energy up from the ground and transferring it through your body. And you want as little energy blocked as possible. I mean, should Jim Furyk change his golf swing? I mean, he's fourth on the all-time money list.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you possibly change that? You know, when you look at Phillip Rivers, I mean, it, like, does he throw the ball a little wonky? I mean, the windup is, but ultimately where he releases it is the same as everybody else. So the idea of look, there's a perfect way, is that that's only in theory. So, you know, athletes who have done something over and over and over and are comfortable with the way that they're transferring energy through their body, that's really the right answer, is how do you do it most effectively for your body? So I'm not a big advocate of you've got to change the way that you're doing it. You just have to be really efficient.
You know, I can't believe I'm about to ask this, because he had such a great season under adverse circumstances. I'm a diehard Seahawk fan, and when I watched Russell Wilson this year, his mechanics looked different. It looked like he was throwing the ball like a baseball. He was winding up completely. It looked like it was a long and slow release. That doesn't seem optimal for a guy. It just seems like it would cause some throws to go errant, slow, longer time to get rid of the ball. What do you make of a guy who throws a football like a baseball?
Well, I mean, Russell Wilson is a magician.
Yes, and I love Russell Wilson, so I can't believe I'm criticizing that.
Yeah, right. I mean, honestly, he's already won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's still really young. He clearly is tearing it up, and he does what he does, and he does it really well. That's a perfect example of, I mean, is it textbook? No. But does it work? Yeah. And that's all you really need. And it's funny how people are like, oh, no, this is the exact way you should do it. I mean, that's starting from when you're young, but you know, every single person has their own idiosyncrasies in terms of every motion. It's just no one is identical. And the idea that there is the correct way is, that's only in theory. I mean, with Russell Wilson, you know, who are any of us to say, well, you could be more
exactly
efficient? You know, I mean, the guy's, he's a magician. And he, I mean, his great, I mean, what you can't scientifically break down is, how does he keep pulling off play after play after play? It's 3rd and 20, and somehow, some way, he gets a first down. It's remarkable how many rabbits he pulls out of a hat.
You know, one of the things we as a Celtics affiliate also have been so impressed by is the play of Kyrie Irving. And I think we've talked about this last year in some way, but like his first step, his crossover, like it looks Iverson-esque to me. Like, how special is his athleticism?
So we had Kyrie in the lab. We did a sports science segment on him. He really is special. That idea of that crossover, right? What he has that, you know, that you, when you talk about the upper echelon of elite players, is Derrick Rose had a really quick first step, but his crossover wasn't crazy.
Yeah.
So what Kyrie has is this crazy, not only change of direction, but it's almost like the Serena Williams serve. You can't tell where it's going to go. He doesn't tip off defenders which direction he's going. He also is a magician of, hey, it looks like I'm going left. I'm giving you every reason in the world to think I'm going left, but I'm actually going right. That skill set is one that is so hard to develop and so hard to refine, but there are only a few people in the history of basketball who have as good a crossover, and I think that your AI example is spot on. I mean, that's what, yes, he was super quick and he was super tough. He could change direction faster than anybody, and that's what really gave him that edge.
John Brankus with us here on Radio Row 101.3 ESPN. You know, we're talking about Russell Wilson. I remember it was about, I don't know, it feels like it was about April at this point. You launched a new podcast called The Brink of Midnight, and you had Marshawn Lynch on. It was like one of your very first guests, maybe even your very first guest. And we think of him as not speaking at all. How's the podcast going? Did you get Marshawn to open up?
Oh, I mean, I've been incredibly blessed with working with so many of the world's greatest athletes. You know, remember, sports science never paid anybody to be on. They were there on their own dime, their own time. and you strike up friendships, and you know, Marshawn Lynch and Ray Lewis and Larry Fitzgerald, and the list goes on and on and on of guys that you just strike up an immediate friendship with, and you stay in touch over the years. It's interesting how Marshawn obviously is known for not really speaking to the media, and yet, you know, with Sports Science and with the podcast, he's just a friend.
Yeah.
And when you're just friends with somebody, you know, it's amazing. Of, you know, if he called me up and said, "Hey, I want you to be on my show," I'd be like, "Sure,
yeah.
You know, no problem." Just because you're friends with somebody, and that friendship allows people to open up and reveal something about themselves that people don't hear. So all of the Brink of Midnight podcast interviews are not these canned, same response every single time interviews.
Where can we find the podcast?
You can find it anywhere that podcasts are distributed. It's on, you know, it's on iTunes. It's, you know, on the podcast app. It's on Android. Anywhere.
Cool.
Stitcher. You know, it's just Brink, B-R-I-N-K, of Midnight. You can go to brinkofmidnight.com and, you know, find all the podcasts there and all the music that we end up doing as well. So it's been incredibly rewarding, and it'll continue on.
And you mentioned Ray Lewis being on the podcast, the guy you've been friends with. Now you're working with Ray on some kind of off-field type stuff.
That's right. We both realize that our collective Rolodexes are pretty insane.
Yeah.
And we both got requests at the same time to provide inspirational messages to, you know, a person who was in dire need. So we decided to start a foundation. It's called the Ray of Hope Foundation. Go to rayofhopefoundation.org. And we have a roster, all-star roster of celebrities and athletes who are willing to send a personalized inspirational message to someone in dire need. It's a super simple idea, but it's not out there. We're not monetizing in any way. No money is exchanging hands. It's just literally having friendships with people. And, you know, if you know somebody who has cancer or is in a really tough spot in their life and they need they need something to pick them up and to give them hope and to, you know, emanate positive energy, that's what this foundation is all about, is sending out a very personalized message, delivering hope to their lives.
That's awesome. John Brink is sports science. I can't wait for it to be rebranded. I can't wait for it to come out again. And I always look forward to this interview on Radio Row. John, thanks a lot.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Good job, Brady. You love John Brink, because you have a man crush up on him, Brady, huh?
No. I'm just a nerd. That's all.
No. Well, you know, a very popular show. So,
but it's coming back.
I know. I didn't even know they had. I thought it was on a hiatus or something like that. I didn't know they had stopped it or whatever.
It was done, but it's back now.
Yeah, no,
it will be back.
I loved it. I love some of the different things that they go after. You know, they once did a special on Dirk Nowitzki's jump shot, how it's impossible to block.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it's the only possible way I'll see the word science and not run to the next room screaming.
Brady, I know you have Champlain Valley game night, and we've gotten through a lot of interviews, so what do you got coming up on Champlain Valley game night?
Seth DeValve is going to join me. He's the tight end for the Cleveland Browns, and I'm going to ask him flat out, what's it like to go 0-16?
He would know.
I'm sure he's excited for that.
No doubt about that. All right, people. It's time for Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweep of the country. I don't care what you say, Rich. I dumbed it down. I was just going through the questions now. I dumbed it down. If we can't get a winner like through three calls,
we're not getting a winner.
We got a problem.
There isn't going to be a winner.
You should start calling now, 802-655-6672. What I did was, since it's the Super Bowl, we'll give you a name of a player. You just have to tell us if the player's on the Eagles, the Patriots, or both. That's how simple it is.
Or was on both.
Or was on both.
Unless there are some players who are going to play for both teams this Sunday.
You know what? I'll give you a name. You tell me. I don't care if they played for them. They were on the team. They were a roster. They were a coach. They were the ball boy. They were the towel boy. They sold popcorn in the stands. Makes no difference to me. Like, if I, you know, it's all players that are currently, or coaches that are currently on the roster right now. Right now.
We're
that are going to play Sunday.
No chance. No chance.
Three calls.
Three calls? That's
three
all it's
calls.
Take.
I mean, really? I mean, if I... All right, we'll get to it back.
Yeah.
Start calling now, people. Three calls. That's all it's going to take. I dumbed it down because Brady's not here. I got intern Aaron, who's almost worthless. So we got to go ahead and...
Wow.
We got to do it ourselves. 802-655-6672. 802-655-6672. Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweep of the country, that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Just don't ruin Eric.
Back to the Huddle, where you can give us your take at 802-655-6672. Providing Arnie shuts up long enough to let you get a sentence in. 101.3 ESPN.
By the way, Brady, I got to read you what Glenn in Moncton sent in real quick.
Uh-oh.
Sports science is such a, is awesome. They did a demonstration showing the inside of what a body looks like when you take part of the Coney Island hot dog eating contest. I would love to see that.
Gross.
Glenn and Moncton won a Sears bag and like sports science. So it looks like we're two for two.
I would love to see that episode. I want to see what it's like when he eat that. All right, it is time for Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweep of the country. Every time we play the game, we ask you a question. If you get that question wrong, you will hear this. You will hear this. And we move on. If you come on the air and go, wait a minute, you're going too fast. We don't care. You'll still hear this. And we move on. If you come on the air and go, wait a minute, you guys screwed up question four. You got that wrong. Oh, we don't care. And you'll still hear this. And we move on. If you get a question right, we ask you another. If they get all 10 questions right, what are we going to give them, Rich? Since Brady's not here, we're going to have to open up that prize closet and take stuff out of Brady's office.
Sure.
And Brady's got some cool stuff
in
his office.
He does. Some very cool stuff.
T-shirts. Helmets.
I hope you guys have kept my office clean.
Mini
by the way.
Helmets. My feet go up on Brady's desk all the time.
Absolutely.
Dirty.
It's bad. Except I don't like it when you take your shoes off.
I know
and put
that.
Them up on his
I know
desk.
That. We're going to take a bunch of stuff from Brady's office and send it to you. That's what you get for winning Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. The three possible answers: the Eagles, the Patriots, or both. The Eagles, the Patriots, or both. I'm going to give you a name. All you have to do, if I said to you, Rich, Tom Brady, you would say?
Patriots. But if he had played one down with the Eagles, well, the answer would be both.
You were so good at that.
Yeah.
You were so good at that. If I said to you, Brady, Carson Wentz, you would say?
Eagles.
Oh, you're so good at this game. Rich, if I said to you, LeGarrette Blount, you would say?
Both.
Because LeGarrette Blount was on Philadelphia and the Patriots.
Does it have to be a regular season game?
No. No. It doesn't even have to be a player. It could be a coach. Maybe you coached on both teams.
This is tough, Brady. We're not getting a winner.
Can I play first?
No, because it's too easy.
Since I don't know the questions,
it's too easy. I'm thinking we're going to get a winner right off the bat.
There's no chance.
I'm telling you, we're going to get a winner within three calls.
Well, we may not get to three calls before another commercial break.
So, without further ado, it is time for Power Play.
You want me to be the phone answerer here?
Yes, I do.
All right,
Eagles, Patriots are both. Eagles, Patriots are both. I know we're going to get a winner right off the bat, so let's go to Elliot in Burlington. Elliot, are you ready for Power Play? Elliot, are you ready for Power Play?
Aaron hung up on him.
There's Elliot.
Elliot.
I did not.
Elliot, hey. I can hear you, Elliot.
Hey there, Arnie.
Oh, there you go, Elliot. What are the three possible answers, Elliot?
The Eagles, Patriots, or both.
Okay, confidence level not high with you. Your voice
like
is
Elliot.
Very low. No, it's very low, very low. All right, Eagles, Patriots, or both. Here we go. Dion Lewis.
Patriots.
Okay, we're off and running.
Come on, Elliot, I knew that one.
Come on, people. Well, at least you know what it's not. At least you know what it's not. At least he didn't just go Eagles or something like that. All right, that opens up a lot of people. I bet Rich that we were going to get a winner within three calls. I bet Rich that. Brady, I
knew that answer. I want to play. If nobody wins, I want to play.
All right, well, let me, we have one more. Is Dan there? Is Dan on the line? You hung up on Dan?
Now Rich hung
I
up on
I did not
Dan.
Hang up on anybody.
Go ahead.
I blame Rich.
Is Dan there? Dan, are you there? Brian, are you there?
Brian is here.
Brian's there, yes. Okay, I was going to say Fred, George, and Mike were going to be next. All right, Brian, what are the three possible answers, Brian?
Eagles, Patriots, or both.
Is the confidence level not high for him either, Brady?
He said Eagles first, so you know he's an Eagles fan.
Okay, here we go. Dion Lewis.
Patriots.
Oh my goodness. What is going on?
You see, this is why we shouldn't play the game anymore.
Yeah, I told you there was no chance of winning.
Yeah, but the two, I said Dion Lewis, the guy said Patriots. And then the second guy, I said Dion Lewis, and he said Patriots again.
All right, let's try John in Winooski.
John, by the way, one line open because we had to hang up on Brian because he got it wrong. John in Winooski. John, are you ready for Power Play?
Yes, I am.
Oh, John, what are the three answers, John?
Eagles, Patriots, or both.
Again, confidence level not high here, Brady. I'm not high on John.
I tell you what, Brady in Minneapolis is on line two if John can't get him.
I might have to go. Right, here we go. All right, Eagles, Patriots, or both. Dion Lewis.
Both.
Hulk. We got a winner. No, okay. Dave Flip.
Patriot.
Patriots?
What the hell is Dave Flip?
I don't know.
Is that a human being?
I don't know. Why would he say the Patriots?
Dave Flip?
Did he think,
Why wouldn't he?
Don't you remember Dave Flip had 15 carries for 118 yards last game for the Patriots? You don't remember that?
Dave Flip.
I don't understand why he would say Patriots on that one.
All right, JoJo is driving through South Hero.
JoJo, are you ready for power play?
Ready.
What are the three answers, JoJo?
Patriots, Eagles, both.
Confidence level again, very down, Brady, very down.
Well, the phone reception doesn't sound great.
I know that, but I hear it in his voice. I don't have a lot of confidence in him. Well, all right, here we go. You ready, JoJo?
I'm ready.
Deion Lewis. One more time. Yeah, one more time. Deion Lewis.
Bo.
Dave Flip.
Eagle.
Eric Rowe.
Oh.
Isn't it that hard? Did I make it hard?
By the way.
Yeah. Yeah, Brady.
By the way, your second one, it's Dave Phipp, not Dave Flip.
Whatever. He rewrote it, the intern. I'm blaming him.
I wrote it letter for letter.
He is not an intern.
He's a highly paid full-time.
No, you did not. I wrote Dave Phipp, F-I-P-P. Yeah, I wrote a letter for letter.
Hey, guess who we found on the phone?
Who?
It's Dan in Jericho.
Dan in Jericho. I'm telling you, I really want to bring back Bowling for Dollars. That's going to be my goal here. Dan in Jericho, are you ready for power play?
Yeah, let's do it.
What are the three answers, Dan?
Eagles basketball.
Again, confidence level very low for you. Very low, Dan. All right, Dan has no comment on that. All right, no. Deion Lewis.
Bulls.
Dave Phipp.
Eagles.
Eric Rowe.
Pass. I think you said pass.
Yeah, that'd be wrong again, too.
Did I make this?
But you know what? Even if I made it hard, you should be able to get the... Because you know what? It's not.
All right.
But I didn't make it. These are all people that are on the team right now.
I've never heard of Dave Phipp. Really?
Right, he's a coach on the Eagles. I'm sorry.
All right. Well,
I'm sorry. That's the only coach I put in there, though.
Matt in St. Albans. Give it a shot.
If I said Dave Phipp, would you ever say, oh, Patriots?
Of course not.
Okay, then. So then it's a 50-50 chance? No, it's really you would say Eagles, then. You would never say both on that one. Who's next up? You didn't tell me. Who?
Matt.
Oh, my goodness. We've gone way too many calls. Matt, are you ready for power play?
I'm ready.
I like this guy's connection here. What are the three answers, Matt?
Pat, Eagles, Peter.
All right. No. He doesn't even know the three possible answers.
Confidence level
is so low. If you can't even give me the three possible answers... Confidence level is not high. I don't think you probably did well on your SATs.
Ooh.
All right, here we go. Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis.
Ah. Oh, my.
You got the first one wrong.
Wow.
Didn't I not tell you that he would get the first one wrong?
Brady in Minneapolis, please.
Brady in Minneapolis is on the line. Let's go to him. Brady, what are the three possible answers?
Patriots, Eagles, both.
Confidence level very high.
Absolutely.
Very high on this
one. And the line is beautiful. It's almost like he's next door.
Deion Lewis.
Both.
Dave Phipp.
Eagles.
Eric Rowe.
Both.
Danny Amendola.
Both.
Ooh.
Eric Lee.
Patriots.
Uh-oh. Bo Allen.
Eagles.
Uh-oh.
Chris Long.
Both.
Rex Burkhead.
Patriots.
Patrick Chung.
Both.
Nate Ebner.
Patriots.
We got a winner.
Hey!
Woo! Matt.
You know what? I bet you if I took the next person, they still won't get all 10 right.
Want to do it? I still got them.
Do it.
Yeah,
do it.
Here. Who's next up?
Nate from Middlebury.
Nate in Middlebury. You got a clue now, Nate? You think you can get that, Nate, or what?
Yep, I'm ready.
Oh. What are the three answers, Nate?
Eagles, Patriots, or both.
You heard Brady just give all the answers, didn't you?
Hopefully.
It was fast.
Eric Lee! Eric Lee!
Eagle.
You see, I told you, I could read the answers. I could just say, here are the answers, people, and let's play power play, and we still won't get a winner.
We are giving you the prize.
No, you see, you said it was too hard.
But well, it when Brady plays
but
it.
But it's not that it's too hard. Brady just said, here are the answers, and the guy got the first one wrong. He's like, I don't even know. I don't know. It's like a deer in the headlights. Seriously. What do you answer? What's he answering the phones for? I got to give the answers, and then we got to give our – no, no more.
You're calling him –
That's it. The bridge, that's it. No more. We don't have time for it. No, I got
to
read the
answers. Do I get to keep the stuff in my office?
Yes, you do. You get – people are texting in. People are hammered. I think people are hammered. I think people are actually hammered.
Well, good.
Honest.
They got a head start.
Deion Lewis. That is both. He was drafted in
really?
The fifth round by the Eagles back in 2010, huh. And of course been with the Patriots from 2015 on.
Or he got a couple carries on. With the Eagles also.
Dave Phipp is a coach for the Philadelphia Eagles.
A
special
coach?
Teams coordinator.
Yeah, like special teams coordinator. Gosh. Or something like that. Well, would you say the Patriots on that? No.
No, but he...
Okay, then. So that's an easy one.
All right. No, you're right.
Eric Rowe? All right,
that's both.
Second round, was drafted in the second round by Philly, played for the Patriots from 2016 to 2018, got him through a trade. Danny Amendola played in the Patriots preseason back in 2009. Intern Aaron, what was
you
the story?
You mean the Eagles preseason.
Eagles preseason. Yeah. What was the story you told me about Amendola?
So he made their roster, but he never played, and so he has one Eagles jersey. His friend saw that the team was selling it, or that someone was selling it who had the possession of it, and they bought it for him and had it framed, and he has it in his house.
Now he'll probably have 12 catches for
170
yards.
Eric Lee, you got that one right. You got Patriots on that one.
Yes, because he came from Buffalo.
No, look at that. Bo Allen.
That would be the Eagles.
Chris Long, how did you get both on that one, Brady?
Well, because he was with the Patriots last season.
Last year.
I know, I'm just
Mr. Tattoo.
Rex Burkhead, I'm surprised you knew that one.
Of course.
Patrick Chung.
That's both.
With the Eagles back in 2013, the Patriots the rest of the time. And Nate Ebner, little Nate.
Patriots.
So there you go. That power play, the new and exciting game, sweep of the country.
So, Brady, are you excited about your prizes?
Yes, because I enjoy my... I enjoy my office and I enjoy my collectibles, so I'm happy they're not being trashed in my absence.
All right, we're going to come back. Final segment, one last time. We'll re-give all our predictions for the Super Bowl and wrap things up as we get you ready for Champlain Valley Game Night. Coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Brady, first one, Town Fair Tire text line goes right to you, Brady.
Uh-oh.
Says easy to win, Brady, when you know the answers. That was the first one.
That's correct. He did know them, but not because they were in front of him.
Yeah, he didn't know the answer.
Yeah, I didn't know the answer. I've written power play every week except three. One week I let you and your wife write it. One week I was on vacation. And this week I didn't write it.
And
so I just played along.
He continued on another box that said, oh, I manhandled you in the Central Vermont Basketball League years ago also.
Wow. He manhandled me in the Central Vermont Basketball
League years ago.
That might be true. I played the Chelsea. I played in the Chelsea League 5 or 6 years ago.
I don't know.
Yeah, I suppose there's a chance that he did.
And his name is a very popular one. His last name is unnamed.
Yes, unnamed.
Yeah.
But we have the number there.
At least he's a tough guy.
Yeah. Wow! All right, here I go. Final predictions before Champlain Valley Game Night. Once again, I have the game tied at 23 late in the game. Tom Brady throws an interception. There's going to be about a minute left, and there's no taking a knee with Nick Foles. He leads him in the field goal range. Philadelphia kicks a 52-yarder. They win on the last play of the game, 26-23. Rich, what's your final prediction?
You're hilarious. Philadelphia stinks on the road. Much better at home. I know it's a neutral game, but they're not at home. Patriots are as healthy as they've been all season. There's no way Foles has another masterpiece like he did 2 weeks ago. It was terrible at the end of the season after Wentz went down. I don't see it happening. I think New England beats Philadelphia 33-21.
Arnie, you had the right score. It's 26-23, but the Patriots are going to win it. All week long, I thought it was going to be the Eagles. I really expected myself to say that it was going to be the Eagles. I like the misdirections. I like the ability to get that Patriots defense, especially the linebackers, moving laterally. But I think the Patriots do just enough. I don't know that it's always pretty, but I do think the Pats win it 26 to 23.
Thanks to our friends at Perfection Motorsports and Trailer Sales, 3 miles east of Richmond, Route 2 in Jonesville, making it all possible to send Brady to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Sunday, Rich, tell everybody right now, be there or be square.
McGillicuddy's?
Yes.
It's the Five Corners
yes,
one.
Yes, yes.
It's going to be a packed house, the same place we were for the Super Bowl last year.
Giving away a 60-inch TV.
And a lot of other stuff. Smugs, passes, all kinds of stuff, too, from our sponsors. Be there. We start the shindig at 6 o'clock, but get there a long
oh,
before
yes.
that.
Oh, yes. It's going to be a lot of fun. Brady, excellent job, my friend. Go have fun tonight. Enjoy yourself. Run up that company credit card. Don't worry about anything. And have safe travels coming back.
We'll see you guys on Sunday.
We'll see you Sunday. Brady's got Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.